Good afternoon. Welcome to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson. And with me this afternoon, Reverend Daryl Kingswood.
It's good to be here.
And Reverend Scott Henry.
You got to say something, Scott.
Wow, the nod on the air. And not with us, Reverend Ron Morris.
But with us, as always,
is Nick.
How you doing, Nick?
Very nice.
All right. Thank you for that response.
We have been going through the Ten Commandments, and we are now up to the Tenth Commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. But let's start off, because not everybody has the same list of Ten Commandments. We ought to take a moment to explain why this is the Tenth Commandment and not the Ninth and the Tenth Commandment, as say the Lutherans have it. We'll let you do that, Reverend Henry.
Well, there's the breaking up of the commandments, especially with the Tenth Commandment, dealing with the different the properties there. And so you can still have Ten Commandments, just readjust it a little bit. But we hold the Tenth Commandment to be simply, as the Catechism says, that not even the least inclination or thought against any commandment of God ever enter our heart. But with our whole heart, we continually hate all sin and take pleasure in all righteousness. And this is really the summation of all of the law of God. You recognize that the law of God stands and falls, and we recognize that every one of the commandments deals with coveting. I think that the desiring to have what other people have that God has not given you, this is one of the reasons why men steal. Because they want other things. They want things that are not given to them. This is why men lie. They lie because they want things that have not been given to them. This is why we are wanting to go to a socialism in this country and dole out to everybody equally. Because it's not right, as people think, for some people to have more than others. Because there's so much coveting that goes on. And we just simply have to recognize the providence of God, that God gives some that he doesn't give to others. And we need to recognize that as the people of God. But notice the Heidelberg Catechism says that there is a requirement that God sets forth in the Tenth Commandment. And the Catechism says that not even the least inclination against any of the commandments of God ever enter our heart. That is really a training of the heart in righteousness. To put off the old sinful habits, the things that we have practiced so often. If you come to faith, let's say in your 20s, and you practice these sinful inclinations and desires for 20 years, and the Lord saves you, that stuff doesn't fall off the bandwagon immediately. What happens is that it no longer ensnares you as being that which rules over you. But you still have difficulty because your lifestyle has been that of coveting and desiring other things that God has not given to you, and so it becomes a real struggle. This practicing righteousness and blocking out by replacing with the right thoughts, the right actions. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4 that we are to think on things that are noble and right and good and just and holy, things that are praiseworthy, things that are of good report. We are to meditate on these things. He also says in Romans 12 that we are to be renewed in our mind by the Word of God. And this is how we understand what the will of God is for our lives. So it's a meditating, a filling your mind with the Word of God that we might avoid the sinful habits that so easily cling to us in this life. So what's the quote that you have over there, Daryl? I see that quote.
I'm curious.
I see that hanging out of your Bible there. And
right. Well, I'd have to build up to that quote.
Build. Go ahead.
Right. And by discussing this reality of the Tenth Commandment, which really comes to the heart, I think, of what the law of God is all about, and where the law of God began, with thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the desire, the fundamental desire of the human heart is to be God. And so it's idolatrous. As you were speaking, Scott, I was thinking of one statement in Colossians to begin with that the Apostle Paul makes as an inspired author of Scripture, so that God makes this through him. But he speaks of how we're to put to death our members which are on the earth, identifying them as fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And so it's the idolatrous heart that refuses to find its delight in God himself and then in living for God's glory, living in subjection to another and for the glory of another. And so what we need to understand is, in the quote that I have, that's setting it kind of up for the quote. It's a quote from Paul David Tripp, a little devotional that he has entitled Sin is a Relationship. And this is how he begins. So it's a lengthy quote I have, so I'll just read some of it. Then maybe it'll be a good talking point, either for you, Scott, or even Lee can say something.
I can.
You can. So this is what he says to begin with. Sin is much, much more than the violation of a set of rules, right? It's much, much more than a violation of a set of rules. Sin is more profound than rebellion against a moral code. Sin is about something deeper than behaving inappropriately. It's deeper than bad actions and wrong words. So sin, to begin with, is much, much more than a violation of a set of rules. It's much, much more than behaving inappropriately. And that's really where, Scott, you've mentioned it, where the Catechism identifies the inclinations and our thoughts against any commandment of God, the attitude of our heart, what we desire, what we long for, is really the fountainhead, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That springs from the heart and produces all manner of iniquity. So it's not just the actual sin, but it's the inborn depravity, the longings, the desires. And covetousness, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 identifies that it was this commandment that really brought the reality of sin home to him. You're right. I had not really known sin. If I hadn't known this, when the commandment came that I shall not covet, I shall not desire the things that are contrary to the will of God. I should not want anything that is contrary to God's purpose, God's design, in terms of and his definition of what it means to be human. And how we are to desire God himself and the things of God. And that's where, even in the Heidelberg Catechism, when it comes to our life of thankfulness and the nature of true repentance and true conversion and the making alive of the new man, that's to be understood as, first and foremost, a heartfelt joy in God through Christ. So it's that delight in God that then produces a delight in living according to the commandments of God. And this is what this 10th commandment is getting at, and as the Catechism explains it, that I take pleasure in all righteousness, hating continually with my whole heart all sin. And so it's understanding this is relationship. You know, and as Christ summarized the law when asked about the greatest commandment, it was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's relationship language, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the second is like unto it. That's the greatest. But the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That's relationship language. That's just not code. And often it's like this. My relationship with my wife, I can say it over the air. I love my wife. And that means that I don't simply relate to her according to a moral code or a set of rules. It is a relationship of companionship, of intimacy with another person.
But in the same token, you don't relate to her apart from the code.
Mm-mm. No. But it's more than that. And
right.
Again, this quote, sin is much, much more than the violation of a set of rules. That statement identifies that it involves a violation of rules or a moral code, but it's more than that.
Right.
It's more than that. It's deeper than that. And now Lee is going to jump in here,
I think it was, you know, you quoted a minute ago Paul in Romans about how I was saying he didn't know the law until he had said, thou shalt not covet. And the rich young ruler is the same way, right? Where Jesus quotes to the rich young ruler, but he doesn't quote the commandment about thou shalt not covet. And then he tells him, well, then go and sell all your stuff. Give to the poor. And that's not just, hey, you really like money. It's really showing him he doesn't even desire the things of God.
Right.
That he has an idol, and it's not, and it's his wealth, it's his lifestyle. He's got things in the place where God belongs.
Right. And ultimately, what does he have in the place where God belongs?
Himself.
All yeah.
Right. Now.
See, you got to the root of this, what Paul Tripp was saying. The root of the matter is it's not just an attack against a moral code or a violation of it. It's an attack against God.
Right.
That's behind it. That's in back of
it. It involves God's wills revealed in his law. But that law is not just about, you know, keeping the commandments. It's about the relationship, the loving relationship that we are designed by God to have with himself. It's and it's in response, as the Word of God teaches us, to his love. We love because we have first been loved.
Right, and that's why we execute murderers. That's why they're called to be executed, because it's an attack on the image of God.
Exactly. So we're getting down to it here. So we might have a program here for a while. Exactly.
No,
as I said to Nick beforehand, we're coming on this one full tilt. We're going to be laying it down.
Mm-hmm. Do you do anything that's not full tilt, brother? Yeah,
let me think.
I think that's a wrap.
No. Well, I tell you what. I think it's good to live with the volume up at 10.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and take our commercial break.
Except for at this point, I want to give a shout-out to my brother-in-law, Tim Patzer, in Canada. I haven't given him one in all the programs we've done, and I thought that he might enjoy that. So that's what I want, because that's personal. That's relationship. And he knows that I appreciate that he's listening.
Well, there you go. Thanks for listening, Tim. We'll be back after this.
Cut it out.
Welcome back to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson from St. John's Reformed Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. And this is Reverend Darrell Kingswood.
This is right here.
Yes, right here.
You guys Darryl lambasting Kingswood. Me about that.
I didn't even get to finish the sentence.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry.
Wait a second, Scott. Don't interrupt him. He was talking about me. It's probably really interesting.
This is Reverend Darrell Kingswood, who's sort of like the Frank Sinatra of the group, I guess.
The chairman of the board.
Yeah. Then we have Reverend Scott Henry, pastor of the church here in Bellevue, Nebraska.
Right.
Kind of like the Dean Martin.
No, he's more like the Jerry Lewis.
The Jerry Lewis.
Who's your daddy?
All right, so we're on covetous.
He's the pastor of the church here that we're planning in Bellevue, Nebraska. That's meeting 9 o'clock Sunday school, 10 o'clock for worship, 2202 Washington Street in Bellevue. That's Mission Middle School, and we meet there. You can find out more at www.heritagerc.us.net.
Right. Or listen to some of his sermons on Sermon Audio.
Sermon Audio. Yeah, I think there's probably a link from heritagerc.us.net to the Sermon Audio. And we do invite you to come down.
Right. And Lee and I agree, he is more than adequate as a preacher.
More than adequate.
He's above average.
There you go. But
and that's a high rating for us.
Stop teasing me.
We are talking about the 10th commandment. We are talking about covetousness, and we have just finished discussing a little bit about how the 10th commandment requires that not even the least inclination or thought against any commandment of God ever enter our heart, and that with our whole heart we continually hate sin and take pleasure in all unrighteousness. That this is the root of sin that starts in our heart.
Take pleasure in all
righteousness. Did I say unrighteousness?
You did.
That would be wrong.
And that would be a Freudian, slip.
10th requirement according to Lee.
That would just be wrong. So, but the point is we talked about how really this is a root of all of breaking all of the commandments of how. But one of the things that you often see when you see summaries of the Ten Commandments is you see that the 10th commandment is summarized as being content with what you have,
mm-hmm.
rather than the root of sin in our hearts that's the base of all of it. that it's idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. It's rather, it's viewed more often as you should just be happy with the amount of money you have.
Right.
Does that undersell this commandment to make it something that is possible that you can do? If you can just be happy with what you have, rather than viewing it as the root of all sin.
Right, yeah.
Is it dangerous to downplay the Tenth Commandment in such a way?
Well, I think it is potentially dangerous, and that's all I'm going to say until Scott says what he has to say.
It's always dangerous to downplay the commandment. And we want to lower the bar, don't we? Mm-hmm. We want to play that La Bamba, and we want to raise it to where we can get under it, and we can do the dance, and we can do the performance. And so you recognize, again, we come to this Tenth Commandment, and it simply has to be stated again. None of us have kept that. None of us have kept the Tenth Commandment. And James 2:10 says that if you break one, you break them all. The commandments hang together. So we've broken all the commandments. We have not kept any of them. The only one, Adam and Eve for a time were obedient to the Tenth Commandment, but the only one who has fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the commandments is Christ alone. And the joy and the amazing grace of God in the gospel, and this is why the gospel has to continually be preached in the church and to the nations. The church needs to send out missionaries. We need to have evangelists. We need to have those that are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ that says salvation is of the Lord. Come to Him, trust in Him, and He redeems you. And truth be told, you'll never come to Him unless He first comes to you, unless He regenerates the soul, unless He gives you faith to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we have a responsibility to come to Jesus Christ. The Lord God Almighty, who upholds all things with the word of His power, the one who holds our breath in His hands, commands every man everywhere to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not an option. That's a command. That being said, our only hope is in Christ, who has kept, who has fulfilled this covenant of works. He has perfectly kept the commandments. And this righteousness, this merit that Christ has earned, becomes ours by faith. And so the reason why we're not condemned and cast to hell for all eternity is simply because of the work of Jesus Christ imputed to us. That is the joy. Now, as believers, we begin to be obedient, not only according to some, but according to all the commandments of God, yet we still don't keep them perfectly, because there is that sin that we fight against, that the old habits that cling to us. And we so easily could run back to the, like a dog, to the vomit, and like a sow to wallow back in the mud. And so we always have to be watchful and alert, not only from the things on the outside, but our own heart. And one of the things I think is really important for us to recognize is that as individuals, number one, we need to know what the gospel is. And the gospel is not how you feel. The gospel is not you're receiving Jesus. The gospel is not something that you have done.
Is the gospel my best life now?
The gospel is an objective declaration of what Christ has done. That's it. It's the announcement that Christ redeemed, that Christ has fulfilled, that Christ is the sovereign, that Christ is the redeemer, that Christ is God come in the flesh to save His people from their sins. He has done what nobody could do. Christ alone has achieved that. And so His perfection becomes ours by faith. And what we need to do in understanding that gospel is to preach that gospel to ourselves every single day. You don't let your heart speak to you. You speak the word of God to your heart, because there's all kinds of sin still in your heart. And so we need to continually be preaching the gospel to ourselves, always more and more recognizing that our only hope is in the righteousness and the blood of Jesus Christ alone. His person, His work. And so let me ask all those that are listening right now, have you closed with Christ in His offices, that He is the prophet, the priest, and the king? Have you closed with Him? Have you come to Him? Jesus said, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you come to Jesus Christ and have relied upon Him and Him alone as your only hope in life and in death? If you have not, you are outside of the grace of God. You are under the wrath and the curse of God. God's wrath abides upon you. And the only hope you have is to run and flee to Jesus Christ immediately. For he is the only rock, and he is the only refuge. So don't kid yourself. You have violated this 10th commandment. You have coveted, you have desired, and as we had talked earlier about the quote from David Paul Tripp, here's the big issue. You have desired, I have desired, we all have desired to be God, to determine what's right, to determine what's wrong, to determine when I worship, who I worship, why I worship, all of those things. We have all done that. And that's the big one. We have all desired. It all hinges on that. All the commandments hinge on that. We want to worship ourselves. We want to honor ourselves. We want our name to be esteemed and glorified and magnified. We don't want to worship on the Lord's Day honoring the true and living God. We want to set the agenda. And so we have to recognize, but there is salvation at the cross. There is forgiveness with God, and that is coming to Christ and Him alone.
Maybe now would be a good time to remind people, if you want to hear more of this, you can come to Heritage RCUS. That's the kind of preaching you're going to get. The gospel, Christ, check it out. Now you can talk, Reverend Kingsley.
All right, I'm listening to Scott Henry, and I'm thinking there's one word that I didn't hear that I want to hear. And I want to hear the word reconciliation. Bring bought back into a right relationship. All right. So, Scott.
I couldn't say it all in 3 minutes there, brother.
Well, I thought you
There's
were trying to.
There's lots of things
to,
I'd
man.
Like to hear from you, too.
I thought right? you were trying to say it all.
That's be what, reconciled with God. And this is exactly. what the Apostle Paul
the,
says.
The just for the just us, that we might be brought right. to God. And, even, and that's the idea. And I just say that to build on, because what you're talking about in terms of Christ's redemptive work, his work of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus, is all that he has done. And he alone is able to do. It's a perfect holiness. It's a perfect righteousness. It's a perfect obedience, right? It's finished. It's complete. It's paid in full, right?
Well, let me ask you, let me throw something at you. Why, hypothetically, let me ask you this question here. Why do I need Christ?
You need Christ because you live by nature in a hostile relationship. Your flesh is at enmity with God.
That's I haven't finished my question.
Seated hostility towards the true and living God.
You hijacked my question.
You live in a relationship of rebellion. I'm just building it up.
All right.
You need somebody to reconcile.
Hold back the water there. Keep it.
Hold
on a second.
Turn down the volume.
Why do I need Christ if I'm a good person?
Because you're not a good person.
Well, I'm not.
No, you're laboring under.
Yeah, but I give. I help other people. I'm nice to people at work. You know, people say I'm a joy to be around.
This is a hypothetical question.
Hypothetical. Yeah.
Hypothetical.
It's definitely hypothetical.
So why then do I need Jesus? I don't feel a need for Jesus, and he might be okay for you, but why do I need Jesus? That's our culture.
Right.
So how do we answer that? How do you answer
that? You look to Scripture and you say, okay, you're laboring under this delusion.
There it is.
Of that you are a good person. And God says to you, there are none good. No, not one. You heard me right. Not one. That we're all unprofitable. That even our attempts to reconcile ourselves to God, even our attempts to somehow save ourselves, to think that we can do something to bring ourselves back into a right relationship with God, is compounding the problem, storing up wrath against the day of wrath, increasing our guilt, because we need someone to die and pay the price for the punishment of our sin, and we can't do that. And also, again, we need somebody, the Scriptures clearly teach us, that we need someone to live, and you've alluded to that, you've not only alluded to it, you've stated it, to live a perfect life of a loving relationship in obedience to the Father and submission to His will, living to be pleasing to Him as the Lord Jesus Christ did. So we need what is known theologically as the active obedience of Christ. We need the passive obedience of Christ, which is His life that He lived, the death that He died, living the life that we could not live, dying the death that we deserve. And so what a person needs to understand, and this is the fundamental work, is that work of the conviction of sin. And not just that I do bad things, but that I am a bad person. That every intent and thought of my heart is in rebellion against God, selfish, self-centered, self-serving. And that gets this idea of covetous, which we met.
What's the 10th commandment teaches?
It's the 10th commandment is getting at that. So we're getting close to the end of this broadcast right now, and Lee's having a problem with his headphones or something over there. But we can continue to talk about this, because I can continue with this quote that I have from Reverend Tripp that addresses these things that are good talking points. And if we want to just close with this point, he says that the desire to be God rather than to serve God lies at the bottom of every sin that anyone has ever committed.
Right.
Every sin. Mm. The desire to be God rather than serve God. And there's the issue. We don't want to serve God. And when you talk about, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, that's self-serving motivation.
Right.
And that's thinking we can vindicate ourselves, we can save ourselves, we can somehow do something to bring ourselves back into a right relationship with God, which is at war with what God has said he has done and he alone is able to do.
Right. And the two are linked together.
Linked
worship
together.
And service.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're worshiping, what you worship is what you serve.
Exactly.
If you're not worshiping the true and living God and serving him, then you're worshiping an idol.
So we're getting to the bottom here. We're getting to the idolatry of the human heart and self-worship in the final analysis.
Absolutely. And that is the 10th commandment.
And we're going to continue on that.
Probably so.
I promise.
Whoa. So join us then next week, same time. And we'll talk more about this 10th commandment. But this Sunday, you worship what you serve, right? You serve what you worship. Make sure this Sunday you're worshiping the true and living God. And if you're in the Omaha, Nebraska area, we invite you down to Heritage RCUS in Bellevue, Nebraska. Go to www.heritagerclus.net.
Where the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up.
Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to 660 KCRO.